So, thank you for everybody's flexibility. And we are up to the two dots where it says, Echod Oymid. First words on the line, Echod Oymid. So, if you remember, we've not yet discussed the actual process of the stoning of the Skila, but what we have discussed is how, until the very last minute, they try and save him. Such that we had, remember, somebody standing outside the Beis Din on horseback. You had somebody on with a sudorin, some type of banner or sheet, so that if somebody in the Beis Din all of a sudden said, "I think I've got a zchus," so they would quickly wave the flag. Off he would gallop on his horse to wherever the Beis HaSkila was. We now know it was outside of all three machanas. And then they would alert the attention of those about to stone him, and they would say, "Stop, stop, stop." So the Gemara now has a fascinating discussion. Who pays, who is chayev to pay for all of this? So let's have a look at the Gemara. First words on the line, Echod Oymed. Echod Oymed, one person is standing there with the sudarim, which, as you mentioned, are the flags or the sheets. Then there's one person who's on horseback, Omer Rav Huna. Pshita li. That's poshut to me that I don't have a question about, as opposed to the next item, we'll see that there is a question. But I have no question, Omer Rav Huna, pshita li. Echad even sheniskal bo. Whether we are talking about the stone that's used to stone him, ve'echad eitz shenitla bo, or so too the wood on which you would hang him, even though hanging is not one of the four mises, but as we'll see later on, after the person was killed, then he used to be hanged. So the stone, the piece of wood, or ve'echad sayef, or the sword, shenerag boy, sometimes a person was killed by sword. Ve'echod sudar shenechnak boy, or the sudar, some type of garment, whatever it was, they used to strangle him with. All of that, kulon mishel tzibur. The tzibur, which means communal money, had to be used to pay for that. So clearly, it's something that costs money. You have to buy a rock, or a piece of wood, or a stone, or a suda. So who has to fund that? So Rav Huna says, that's poshut to me. Without any shadow of a doubt, that definitely is funded by the tzibur. That's funded by the tzibur, no question about it. My timer, what's the reason? Demididei, because from the person himself, Loi omrinon lei. We are hardly going to say to him, Zil, go, velese, and bring this item, veliktel nafshe, in order for you to be killed. We can hardly expect the person who's about to be killed to have to fund the item that actually kills him. That makes no sense. It can't be. That's what the Torah wants. So if the Torah dictates that the Beis Din have to kill him, then it's the Beis Din, which is obviously funded by the community. They have to now pay for any item necessary to kill him. Says Rav Huna, that's poshut, that's not a discussion. What is a discussion? But boy, Rav Huna, but Rav Huna said he does have a shaila. What about the sudar? What about the banner, sheminifin boy, that they used to wave? We just said that there's somebody standing outside the Beis Din waiting to wave the banner in order to save him. This is not in order to kill him. This is in order to save him. Versus. And what about the horse, Sherotz Umamidon, who would run to stop the person killing him? That I do have a question about. Michel, me who? Question mark. Whose is that? Who has to pay for the horse? or for the banner, or for the rider? Do we say, Kiven dat sola dide? Do we say, because it's his salvation, he's the one being saved at the end of the day, so midideu, so he should jolly well be the one to fund it. Listen, you want to be saved, so pay for the apparatus necessary, for the horse, for the rider, for the banner. Oy dilma, or perhaps not. Kiven de beidina. Since the Bezdin mechayvin, they are obligated lemevet bohatzala to save him, as we have now seen countless examples. We've learnt extensively the principle of vehitzilu ha'ida, that the Bezdin have a mandate for the Torah, not just be nice. You have a chiyuv to do everything you can to save him. So if that's the case, maybe midid who? So maybe they should have to fund it. And Rav Huna does not resolve this question. So again, what was poshut to him and what was the question? It was poshut to him that the items used to kill the individual obviously has to be paid for by the community, by the Beis Din. Whether the sword or the stone or whatever it may be, you can hardly expect the poor individual to have to fund the item that actually kills him. But the item that saves him, whether it's these banners or the horse or the rider, that, says Rav Huna, I do have a question about. On the one hand, you could put in a good argument to say that he's got to pay for it for himself because he's the one being saved. Oy dilma, or perhaps not. Ultimately, it's true that he's being saved, but it's Beis Din's obligation to save him. And if it's Beis Din's obligation to save him, as we've seen, you do everything you possibly can to ensure that he doesn't get killed, if we're able. So maybe that includes having the horse and the banners. That's one shayla. Now comes the second shayla, which is very closely related. The su, and further, question number two. Ha da oma Rav Chiya bar Rav Ashi, Omer Rav Chista. Rav Chiya bar Rav Ashi said in the name of Rav Chista, Hayoytze lehoreg. If somebody was taken out to be killed, Mashkin oisai, they would give him a drink. What drink would they give him? Kurt shalavoina, some measure of lavoina, which is a very strong spice. Bekois shel yayin, in a cup of wine. So they used to give the accused, and the now indicted, some very spicy alcoholic drink. Why would they do that? Kidei shetitoreif daitoi. In order that his mind would be a bit maturaf, would be a bit woozy, as it were. We don't want him to be fully aware of what's about to happen to him. It'll be too scary. We learn this from the pasuk in Mishlei, says the Gemara Shenema, Tnu sheicher, give beer la'oived, to somebody about to be killed, v'yayim la'morei nefesh. Look at Rashi. Shetitorev daito v'lo yidak. We don't want to be all anxious. V'yismameah, some have a different girsa. V'harigosoi, or he'll be nervous about his pending death, which is very understandable. So just like, this is an extension of what we've been learning, just like we do everything we can to save him, even in the event that we cannot save him, and he's been indicted and sentenced and that's it, but even then, we do what we can to make the Misa easier, which, by the way, is also going to be a whole discussion later on in the Masechta. There is a discussion about how exactly we go about executing him. So, of course, we have a mandate from the Torah about which Misa he has to get. I can't just pick and choose. But nonetheless, how we go about it, there is a discussion. And the bottom line is, we do it in the easiest way. Now, it's true. Obviously, the purpose of this Misa is that you should jolly well feel the pain, and it should be a kapora, and he should be chozer b'tshuva, right? So we're not going to give him an anesthetic that doesn't feel anything. The Gemara didn't say that, but at least kadesh titarev daito. So once again, the question is, who should pay for that? Who should pay for this yayin, which ultimately is for his good? Now, the Gemara does bring the Tanya, it says in the Brisa that Noshim Yekorais, there were very special women in Yerushalayim. Hoyu misnadvois, they would volunteer, they would donate. Oison, and they would bring this drink. So for the moment, it's irrelevant to discuss who has to pay for it, because apparently the Noshim Yekoris of Yerushalayim used to voluntarily donate it. Nonetheless, the Gemara says it is a question. Loi hisnadvu Noshim Yekoris, but what happens if they did not donate it? Once again, we have a discussion. Mishalmi. So who should pay for it? Just like we had a discussion who pays for the horse and for the banners, etc., etc. So who pays for this drink, which is for his good? So the Gemara says, well, ha vadai mistabra mishal tzibur. In that case, at least in the second shaila, we can say that logic would dictate that the tzibur have to fund it. Why? Kiven de ksiv tnu. Remember the pasuk that we just quoted, the pasuk in Mishlei says, tnu shecha, tnu shecha. Tnu means give in the plural. Who's being addressed over here? Mididhu, in the plural. So at least there we have some type of proof on a basis that it's an instruction on the plural, meaning obviously Bezdin. So there, even though the Noshim Yekores of Yerushalayim would indeed voluntarily donate it, but in the event that they didn't, we can safely say that based on the Lashon of the Pasuk, that yes, Bezdin would have to fund it. But we do not, however, have any type of proof or logic, it's a two-way Sofik, what to say about who should fund the horse, or should fund the banners, etc., etc. Do we say on the one hand that he's saving his own life, so he should jolly well pay for it, or no? Ultimately, it's a chiyuv of Beis Din, v'hitzibu ha'evam, well, they have to pay for it, and that the Gemara does not resolve. Yes. All is.
It's a little strange because it's not like beforehand he knows if they're going to all of a sudden find something and then send, hold up a banner and send the guy on a horse and, save him. Or does he know beforehand for sure 1,000,000% that that's not going to happen and therefore they're going to kill him and they have,
100%, 100%.
so therefore it seems like there's a fee for every single court case where there's a nishnefesh, which is, that fee is going to prepare a horse and it's going to prepare in the case that the situation where we find in the last second we have to have a horse ready, we
Rent
have to
a
have this
horse
ready.
for the day. We'd have to rent a horse for the day for the Besdin.
So
I guess.
therefore, if they would have charged the guy, they're charging him for something that he may not even be benefiting from, because at the end of the day, they have to have the horse ready, but he may not be zocher.
Okay, an insurance policy. You're right, they may not use the horse. By the time they get it, it might be too late. So it's an insurance policy, like every insurance. You might not use it, then your money's lost.
And then also, don't you have a situation where you have certain people say, "Yeah, I wish I can't afford the horse." Okay, so you're not going to be saved. What can I say? You're not a rich man.
Oh, so that's the question. That's ex precisely the question. If we say it's his chiv to fund, then you're quite right. If he can't pay for it, then it's bad luck. There's no need for bez. That's exactly what the Gemara means to ask. If it's a Bezdin's chiv, then Bezdin have to raise the money. And if it's his chiv, then if he could pay for it, that's great. And if not, then Bezdin have no chiv.
How could that possibly be then? That
Well,
well, wealthy people get a more fair trial than an unwealthy person.
wealthy people can afford a more expensive doctor.
That's
HaKadosh Baruch
different. That's a completely
Hu,
different
HaKadosh
situation.
Baruch Hu, exactly the same. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu arranged that he should have money, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving him the resources. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted him to have those resources. If somebody cannot afford a good doctor, it means HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not want him to have access to a good doctor. That's why, in short, he didn't have money, so he didn't give him money for a horse either. Reb Nachum.
I don't know if we learned it or if it's coming up, but didn't they give him the drink so he would be like the first few times they offer to bring him back, he could be more conscious of his thoughts?
We're coming to that soon, yeah. We haven't said that. Yeah, that's coming up soon.
What's coming up?
Yeah,
Because
it's
here, where
up.
there's a pasuk.
Yeah, we'll get to that soon.
Okay.
Okay, so for the moment, we do not have a clear proof. The second question was resolved. The second one was not. Now we have a third question. Bo'o minei Rav Acha bahuna mirav sheshes. So Rav Sheshes now asked the following question. Now, we all remember from previous sugyas that in addition to the Dayonim, 23 Dayonim, but there are the Talmidim. The Talmidim are the disciples who are sitting there in attendance, watching and studying. And remember, we've had in past occasions, we've seen that the Talmidim, at least if it's to offer a zechus, are allowed to voice their opinion. Again, this is all part of a Hitzilu Ha'eda, doing absolutely everything we can to try and save him. Says the Gemara now, a fascinating question. Bo'i minei Rav Acha bahuna merav sheshes. Omar echod min ha-talmidim. If one of the Talmidim said, Yesh li lelameid olav zechus. I think I have a zechus for him. And unfortunately, the next second, v'nishtatik. He then became mute. He's unable to speak. So we have somebody here who claims that he could get him off the hook. He's got a zechus, but he's unable to express his opinion. I presume he cannot talk or write or communicate in any which way. Says the Gemara, Mahu, what do we do? Look at Rashi. V'nishtatik ne'elam, he became mute. So he can't express his opinion now. He claims that he has an opinion to express, but he's unable to express it. So Mahu. Mi Omar, do we say? Eloy ishtatik. Had he not been silenced, it could well be have a mamish bedvarov. Maybe indeed there really would have been some substance to his claim. V'tzorich lister es hadin. So for the moment we have to be soser the din, or lahavi dayanin acherim, and to bring some other dayanim. So look back at the Gemara. Munak.
What does that mean, Dvarma, Diana Machem? Let me just sub out the one that became mute, or like a
It has to
completely
be replaced.
change
Right, it has to be the Dayanim have to be replaced.
all of them?
No, I would assume instead of this Talmud, so I'm not sure why it says Dayanim in the plural. It's a fair question.
Right, that's why we were confused.
Yeah, good question. So Rav Sheshes is the one who's asked this question. He's not impressed. Says the Gemara, Menapeach Rav Sheshes b'yodei, which literally means he whistled in his hands. Why did he whistle in his hands? Look at Rashi. Menapeach kloima ruach huzeh she'omarto. It's ruach. It's just empty wind. It's nothing. What type of silly question is this? Look back in the Gemara. Menapeach Rav Sheshes biyodoi. So Rav Sheshes, you know, like when you hold your hands to your mouth and you somehow whistle and you shriek. So there's no substance there. It's just a noise. So that's what he was indicating, that this question is just a noise. There's no substance. It doesn't make any sense. Why not? Nishtatik. What type of question is this about somebody who was nishtatik, somebody who was silent, that what? That maybe, just maybe, just maybe he has something to say. But he hasn't said it. So if you're going to concern yourself that maybe he had a tzad zechus, afilu echod b'soif ha'olam nami? Question mark. So maybe there's somebody in South Alabama or North Malaysia or in Timbuktu. Maybe he's also got a tzad zechus. I mean, what's the limit? He has not expressed any opinion. If he would have expressed an opinion, and now we haven't had time to look into it, that one question. But he hasn't. He's just said, I've got something to say. Okay, we'll say it. He's unable to. He became silenced. So what's now the shaila? I should abandon the case? Well, then the sky's the limit. Maybe there's somebody in North Mongolia who's on his way right now. He's also got a tzad zechus. Maybe there's somebody who's about to come from planet Venus. Seif ha'ilam. Look at Rashi. Menapeach Rav Sheshes b'yodi kloima. Ruach. Who's it's ruach. It's just empty wind. Does it make any sense, this question? Shomarto. Kiven shenishtatik. Since he was silenced, mahoyo. So what does that help? How can his opinion be considered in any which way? Ilohochi osis lamechash. If that's what you're coming to concern yourself with, yeah, but maybe he had something to say. Then afilu echod b'soif ha'olam nami. Then maybe even if there's somebody at the other end of the world, why don't I say the same? Eima b'chol ha'yotzim lahorig. Any person who's about to be killed, why don't I always say, well, don't kill him. There's somebody on his way from North Tanzania. Shemo yesh echod b'soif ha'olam. Or even mishkafayim, or far-flung places like that. Maybe there's somebody coming from very, very far. Sheyeda loy zechus, who knows some type of zechus. Until there's any concrete substance, how can we possibly be concerned? Says the Gemara, no, I don't accept that. That's not a fair comparison. Why? Well, obvious difference. Hosam loy ka'omar. Because over there, this potential person from wherever it may be, from South Lebanon, Loi Ka'omar hasn't said anything. So of course I don't need to be concerned that maybe, just maybe, there's somebody on his way from Romania. Well, he hasn't said anything yet. But Hocha Ka'omar my. But here the Talmud did say something. What did he say? I have a zechus. So I'm not inventing the possibility. The possibility was created. Unfortunately, I have no way of now clarifying it because I'm unable to communicate. So how can you dismiss the question and say, oh, that's ridiculous. Maybe there's somebody at the other end of the world. No, I understand. Somebody at the other end of the world does not represent a Sufik because he hasn't spoken. I remember when I was in the Mir Yeshiva, and I learned under my great Rebbe, Rebbe Fol Shmulevitz, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, the oldest son of Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, used to tell us, he said it in Yiddish, but he used to say, not everything that can in theory be is considered a Sofik in Halacha. There are many, many existences which are within the realms of a possibility, but the fact that it could be doesn't necessarily mean it's a suffix. After this shir, you may want to sit down and have something to eat. How can you eat something? Maybe, just maybe, a piece of meat splashed onto a pot when you weren't looking and then it became fleishig. Could be. Can't say no, it's not shaykh to happen. It could be. Not everything that could be is considered a suffix. I have to have what's called, remember this very important phrase, a leidas hasofik. A leido is a birth. If I see something splashing in the direction of my pot, and I'm not sure if it hit the pot, I'm not sure if there's shishim, I'm not sure if it was cold, yes, then I need to call up my local rabbi. I've got a sofik. But I do not need to call up my rabbi. Oh, I'm wondering, maybe something splashed. You didn't see anything to concern yourself with. There's no leido. There's no leida, the suffix hasn't been born. There always has to have grounds to doubt. But the fact that it could be is not grounds for doubt. Yes, Rav Nachum.
Isn't a Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur daven that somebody might have daven that it shouldn't rain at this point?
Correct. That's not a suffix.
That's, so why is he davening for it?
Again, I'm not saying it can't be. And I'm not saying we ignore it, but in halachas of sveikus, we have halachas of sveikus. What about tefillah? What about tefillah? We're talking about halachic sveikus. Am I mechuyev to call out my local rabbi and say, what do I do today if an elephant charges out of the zoo and tramples my car almost, should I bench Goyim? What do you mean? There's no leidus or something. Well, it can't happen. Yeah, it can. It's unheard of that an elephant should escape from a zoo. It's heard of. But there's no leidus or something. Let's not make a mistake. It's not the issue of whether it's far-fetched or not far-fetched. That's not the issue. The fact that a piece of meat might splash onto my cup of milk is not necessarily far-fetched. Could happen. But there's no leidus ha-safek. There's no leidus ha-safek. This is a very, 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 very important principle. If somebody, for example, would open up his soup on Friday night, and then all of a sudden a fly comes buzzing around, and it seems to have dropped into my soup, I'm not sure. Okay, there's a leidus ha-safek. I definitely saw the fly. Now the question is, did it go in the soup? Did it not go in the soup? Is there shishim? Is it not shishim? Does shishim help? Etc. etc. But if not, every time you open the lid of your pot, maybe you should call up your local rabbi. Maybe a fly fell in. Which fly? What fly? Did you see a fly? No. Yeah, but it could be. I definitely have flies sometimes in my house. There's no leidus ha-safek. And that's what the Gemara is saying over here as well. The fact that there might be somebody in North Dakota who wants to now say a tzad zechus could be. And I don't know what the percentages are, whether it's a remote possibility or a distinct possibility, but there's no leidus ha-safek. Whereas when the Talmud says, I have something to say to defend him, oh, that's a leidus ha-safek. Unfortunately, we have no way of clarifying the safek. So that's why we have the Shaila in Gemara. Rabbi Larry, you want to, so we have to close
That's a
the
quick question. Let's
yeah.
say hypothetically you go to the bathroom and you come out and you stay Asher Yotzer by rote, and now you forget whether you said Asher Yotzer or not. It's a suffix, but it's a late, it's a real suffix. Do you say
100%.
Shem Kvod Machuso and say it again?
Okay. So there we have these shaylas. You're not sure if you've said the same talumata. I don't know if I said Yalav Yavi. That's a leidus ha-safek.
What's the answer to these things?
Most questions, in the case of safek brachas, then we're mekel. In the case of davening, sometimes we're machmir if it's the first 30 days, because then we assume you have not said it. But again, there's a leidus ha-safek. I remember coming out of the bathroom and I distinctly cannot recall. Although I was obligated to say Ashiyotza, I can't recall doing so. Okay, you'll excuse me, I must run. Emes Hashem, tomorrow as normal, and as said, later on in the week, as we have various simchas, we'll take it day by day, Emes Hashem.